Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your Homeschool Companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome. I'm Rose.
I'm Kathy.
We're so glad you're here with us today. We're going to read a story for the children. Oh, first I want to tell Mom, you can take a little break. Mom or Dad or teacher, whoever's working with the kids, you can take a little break. We're going to be talking about music and music education when we come back. But we're going to read this story, this I Can Read scrapbook stories. And these are little books that I've written. You can get them at the, you know, on Amazon.com. And this one's called The Birthday Party. And it's about a little girl who has just turned 6 years old. Well, we're going to read it. "Anne, you may have a party," said Mother. "You will be 6 years old. You may have six friends at your birthday party."
Anne walked and walked. Which way will Anne go? And the picture here shows her at a crossroads. And she has to decide whether she's going to go towards the more affluent part of town or towards, like, on the other side of the railroad tracks part of town where there's some handicapped,
disabled
people that she knows. And so that's what this picture's showing. Mm-hmm. Which way will she go?
The next page, Anne says, "I will stop here." Anne saw Jane, but Jane did not see Anne. "Come on in, Anne. Please come in," said Jane. And Jane is standing there with a service dog, a seeing eye dog.
The next page, they're in talking to Jane's mother. "Will you come to my party?" said Anne. Anne looked at Jane, but Jane did not look. Jane could not see.
Anne walked and walked. The sun was hot. "I will stop here," said Anne. "Hello," said John. "Hello," said John's father. "May John come to my party?" said Anne. And John is in a wheelchair.
"I cannot walk. I cannot run. I cannot come to your party," said John. "I will take you to Anne's party," said John's father.
And then Anne continues on. She walked and walked. The sun was hot. "I will stop here," said Anne. "Hello," said Mrs. Joy. "Will you come to my birthday party?" said Anne. "I will come to your birthday party," said Mrs. Joy. And it's an elderly woman sitting in a wheelchair.
Anne walked and walked. The sun was hot. "I will stop here," said Anne. "Hello," said Bill. "Come and play with me." "No, thanks," said Anne. "I came to ask you if you will come to my birthday party."
In the original story, that little boy didn't have his dad. He was gone to war, but the editors took it out. Just a side note, there you know the rest of the story. So we'll continue on with the story. Anne walked and walked. The sun was hot. "I will stop here," said Anne. "Hello," said Mrs. Jones. "Can you see Tommy?" "I can see Tommy," said Anne. "I want him to come to my party." And the picture is Tommy is up in the treehouse and he has a hearing aid in his ear.
"Mother, mother," said Anne. "I asked five friends to my birthday party." "You are my friend, Mother. I will ask you to come to my party," said Anne.
And now they're all coming. Little boy with some flowers for a gift. And the little boy in the wheelchair has a birthday cake. And the grandma, she's on her walker now with some balloons. And the little boy with the hearing aid. And the little girl with the seeing eye dog has a gift. And the words say, "Here come the friends," said Anne. "Here comes Jane, she cannot see. Here comes John, he cannot walk. Here comes Mrs. Joy, she is old. Here comes Bill, his father is far away at war. Here comes Tommy, he cannot hear. See them come to my birthday party."
"This is the best birthday party," said Anne.
And all of the words for the book are in the back of each of these little books. So you can, and the Spanish as well. So if you are a bilingual home, you can be practicing English. And if, you know, if you're Spanish, you can practice English. If you're English, you can practice Spanish. And the words are at a grade, I think it's about first grade, fifth month, something like that.
Also, if you're learning Spanish in class.
We use these at our school all the time. Well, we are going to talk about music. And what's so cool about this is that I'm going to ask Kathy some questions. You see, she is one of the music teachers at a local Christian school. And I wondered, Kathy, why do you suppose that school would hire extra people to teach music? Why is it so important to them?
It's a very good question. Music, I think, has so much to do with how we learn. And the studies that you read show that the children who are listening to music, involved in music, taking music lessons, they have an easier time learning all around. So at our school, it's a small school. There's about 80 children, grades 1 through 8. Well, I shouldn't say 1 through 8, grades pre-K, age 4 through 8th grade. And there's 2 grades per classroom, average about 20 kids per classroom. And they have quite a good music program. They have 2 part-time music teachers, and each classroom has a music time. And they do different things with each of the kids, too, so they're not just singing all the time. I teach pre-K and kindergarten, and we do lots of different things. We do chimes and sing and play boom whackers, and I teach bells. We also have recorders for 3rd and 4th grade. We have a nice choir in grades 5 through 8.
So let's talk about music in the different grades. So we'll start with early childhood. How do you teach music to a 4-year-old?
With a lot of fun and a lot of games. And I do teach them different musical terms. So if you quizzed my little kids, they could probably on any given day, depending on if it's a good day or a bad day for them, could tell you what a treble clef or a bass clef is, a quarter note. But for the most part, we're learning rhythm. We're playing games. I had a very wise person tell me one day to put the letters of the musical alphabet, which is A through G, on note cards and throw them all around the room and then let them make the musical train. And we did that. I had never done that particular game, and these kids loved it, just absolutely loved it. And they learned, I mean, some of them at age 4 couldn't even do their alphabet yet. So they were pretty proud of themselves when they got so that we had probably 5 sets of this alphabet. And of course, the more I threw it up in the air as far as I could, the kids were just like, wow. So that's how we started this year out, in fact. And then we started out with boom whackers. And for those who don't know what boom whackers are,
boom whackers,
look it up on your computer too, because they're fascinating. Some of the songs that you can see the more advanced players do, but boom whackers are simply tuned plastic tubes. And they're cut at different lengths, different widths. And they're tuned to just the musical alphabet. And for our Christmas program this year, the children sang and played their boom whackers. And we just had 2 chords for this song. And so we had 2 groups, and the kids sang through the whole thing. And it was lovely. And some other things we do is we take the tone chimes. And that really helps them with their rhythm. Because they have to, we're actually playing the tune of Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star, so they have to get the right rhythm, and they actually are doing pretty good. They start out first going, da-da, 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 but we're getting now into the regular rhythm. But that's what we do with the 4- and 5-year-olds. It's a pretty noisy class. There are days where I take music. I have the Parade of the Animals, March of the Animals. Can't remember exactly what it's called, but you listen to the different songs as they go, and they are portraying different animals. And I won't tell them which one it is and see if they can figure it out. And then I read them a little story about it, and then we play it, and I give them paper and crayons and have them draw whatever they want. Most of them try to draw the animal it's portraying, mm-hmm. but that's a nice calming time too with them.
Well, when you said something about, you know, they performed, do you think that's a good age to start children up in front of other people?
I do. And you already see some of them with stage fright. Even mm-hmm. at that young age, my own children, they started singing up front when they were two. But that's because they grew up with mom and dad doing that and their whole extended family doing that. But you have children whose parents would, you know, rather cut off their finger than to get up front of anybody.
Now, do you have any homeschool families that are taking advantage of the music program?
Yes, we do. We have somewhere around 10 or 12 students who are homeschool students, and they come in for our music program, art, and PE, and they do very well. But the getting up front, I think it's so good. The earlier, mm-hmm. the better, because that stage fright is a real deal.
Well, we have to take a break right now, but when we come back, I would like to delve into what a homeschooling family should really be doing now in order for their children to have a good musical foundation. We'll be right back.
My name is Jessie, and I just wanted to talk about what bothers me the most is when I'm walking down the hallway on my way to class or my locker and someone says, "Hey shorty," or "Hey little freshman." I know I'm short, but why does everyone have to point it out? In my opinion, short people rock. I mean, being tall isn't all that wonderful. They can't do a lot of things that short people can do. And the tall people can do things that short people can't do. We are all different sizes for a reason. I like the way I am. Don't try to change yourself because of other people. You rock the way you are.
This Kids Talk moment was brought to you by Baltimore White Marsh Adventist School. For more information, go to www.bwmschool.org. Welcome back to Homeschool Companion. We're talking about music. And Kathy, I'm a mom at home, and I have five children ranging from toddlerhood to fifth grade. And I want my children to have a good musical foundation. We aren't close to any school that I really want them to participate in the music. What can that mother do now to make sure that when her children get older, they like to get up in front of people, or they will get up in front. Mm-hmm. I mean, I still don't like to get up in front of people, but they will get up in front of people. They'll have a certain poise and a certain proficiency in the subject of music.
Yes, and that's very true. You can start them at a very young age, and some people just never will like to be up front. Now, you seem to be a person that actually doesn't mind talking in front of people. I don't like talking in front of people. I do it, and people don't know I'm nervous, but I love to sing and play the piano.
Yeah, well, I don't. People. You sing in front of people. I'll talk in front of people. I don't like to sing in front
of deal.
People.
But you know, for someone such as me who teaches music, well, when I homeschooled my kids, that was a given. I gave them piano lessons and I made them get up in front of people. But for that parent who may not be that musical themselves, or they simply don't want to get up or, you know, show their kids. Well, the computer's a really good place to go, of course, because in the computer you can pull up all sorts of music programs, but you can also buy them in the stores. And giving your children a wide range of listening too, just listening to music makes such a big difference, and not just always one kind. And there's musical games they can play. Simple things such as music bingo will teach them the basic theory of what a sharp and a flat is. And a lot of those come with CDs that you can listen to, so that if you don't know the answers, mm-hmm. it's explained to you as you go along.
Yeah. I think that children who have a good musical education, they might have maybe not the same taste of music that you have when they grow older, but they definitely appreciate music to the point where it's not just this horrible stuff. I mean, they really do understand that some of this music took really genius
to do. Yeah, so much of the music, the musicality, it might not be what I choose to listen to, but it's amazing work.
Yeah.
And then there's just the screaming and yelling and jumping up and down and banging your guitar and stuff. And
yeah,
there's a big difference in being able to tell.
Yeah, they definitely, a child who is musically educated develops a taste for musicality and not just
noise.
The noise,
right,
of it, or the emotion of it, but they appreciate the musicality of it.
And the getting up front, I like to back up to that too, because that's a really big deal with these, you know, 4-year-olds who are getting up front at this point in their lives and screaming or jumping up and down, or, you know, embarrassing the parents to death, but everybody's laughing and enjoying it. I mean, they're so cute. But it's also, I mean, I remind them and I'll keep reminding them, you know, don't yell, stand in line. You get rewarded for doing a really good job, because if you scream out in the middle of the song, you might be messing it up for everybody else who's trying to, you know, it's good training.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't get in trouble. It's supposed to be fun, and it is fun. And we had moms this last Christmas who were standing in the dark shadows on the edges, ready to run up and scoop their kids up, because they did not think that child would get up there and do it.
Yeah.
But they did it. I mean, they were dropping the boom whackers all over the place. And so I was spending a lot of time going and picking them up and handing them back to them. But, oh, it was fun. And now they're going to do a spring concert in May, and they can't wait. They just can't wait.
It's fun. It needs to be fun. Isn't there a saying that a child's play is their work? Or a child's work should be play?
Yes.
Whatever the case may be, if you can tie the emotion of joy with whatever subject you're teaching, we know for a fact that learning occurs more than if fear is tied to it. Fear, the hippocampus just goes down, and learning doesn't happen.
Everything shuts down. And my little kids are happy to come to music class, begging to come to music class. They yell down the hall whenever they see me when I'm going to teach. You know, my bells are older students, but when those little ones see me, "Hi, music teacher." Forget Mrs. Jackson. I'm just music teacher. They're a lot of fun. We do marching to help with the rhythm, clapping to help with the rhythm.
I think that we've underestimated how smart 3- and 4-year-olds are. We just now are beginning to realize, hey, their brains are so fertile. Let's give them as many learning opportunities as possible. You know, we have the centers and all of that as well, but they're very open to learning language, to learning music. And some of them probably already sing pretty well on key, but you probably still have some that need that practice.
Yes, I have some that are yelling and completely there's no tune to them at all. And then I have others that sound really good, and I try to combine them. I mean, they all want to sing solos now, and that's fine. They can sing solos and yell it at the top of their lungs if that's the best they can do, and enjoy it. And the parents are so happy to see them up there, and it's absolutely adorable.
Yes. Well, every school I know has its own unique culture. I'm at a school where we have 3- and 4-year-olds, and we couldn't even get them to talk, let alone sing. And so we've really been working with that. And finally, by Christmas, we just said, go wah, 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 and make your mouth look like it's moving. And we were happy that they would do that, because they were so shy and so reticent to get up in front.
Well, this is the first year that I've had the 4- and 5-year-olds completely by themselves. I always, in the other schools, had them with the first and second graders.
And that helped.
And that helped, because those first and second graders could read the words and learn them much more quickly, where these little ones, of course, are just having to go completely by memory and what they're hearing. And
you're probably pronouncing a lot, singing a lot, repeating a lot, but that's how they learn.
And they do, and they're wonderful.
I think they probably catch your enthusiasm for the, you know, just the love of music. Just a little bit on a personal note, tell me a little bit about your journey as, you know, how did you know you were always musical from the time you were little? Do you remember not singing or not playing the piano? Or?
I don't remember. My big sister played the piano and she taught me the piano, and I was very, very anxious to get to the piano. And by three, I was up there fiddling around with it. So I don't ever remember not playing. And I can remember sitting there practicing those old John Thompson songs, and someone would walk up the drive to come into the house, and boy, I'd start playing faster and faster because I wanted to make sure they could hear me. And then my, you know, my middle brothers, they took piano, but that, forget that, they passed me by. I mean, they quit.
Yeah.
Because I passed them by.
I almost quit because you passed me by.
Yeah. And by the time I was in eighth grade, I was teaching piano lessons. And it was, some of the hardest things to play on the piano are hymns and, or accompanying someone else. When something else is going on mm-hmm. when you're playing, it completely messes you up. I do that with my piano students now. I'll play a duet part and I'll say, I'm going to try to mess you up now. Yeah, now that you've learned it. And at first it's like, oh my goodness, Mrs. Jackson, that's too hard. You can't play that while I'm playing, you know. And, but by the time I was 12, all of a sudden it was, here's some music. We're at a church. I want you to play this. We're going to sing. And so I was kind of thrown into it. And
then your children have gone on and they're musical too.
They're very musical, but neither one of them like to play the piano.
Well, and that's interesting because neither do my kids play the piano much.
Right. I mean, they play, my oldest one, now that she's learned to read music with her oboe quite well and sing, you know, singing is her life at age 15. And, you know, she's starting to, as she writes her own music now, she's playing more and more. And my 9-year-old's all about violin right now.
I think that probably as we conclude the show, we could tell parents, don't push onto your children what you wanted to do yourself. In other words, don't vicariously live through your child as far as music, because God has a path for every human being. And I think your oldest daughter has picked up the oboe mm-hmm. and your younger daughter the violin. So maybe they won't ever be the great pianist that you are, but I'm sure they will find great peace, comfort, and satisfaction in whatever instrument mm-hmm. that they do. My son really started his career in band and has developed some great bands at the schools that he's at. I would have never guessed because I spent hundreds and thousands of dollars on piano lessons. And my daughter, well, I don't know if she'll ever, she loves music and her children are musical, but, you know, she hasn't really done anything with it, and that's okay.
She sings, yeah. But she hates to be up front.
Yeah, she's very shy to be up in front. And we just have to appreciate God has made us all so different. He loves us so much, and he's given us that gift of music. Music, I think, was the ultimate language of worship. So we'll conclude on that. You know, thank you so much for telling us all about, and I know every parent will really start working with music with their young child. Well, we have one last thing to say, and that is, God bless.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.